It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 14th. I'm Adrienne Hill in for Ben Johnson. Later today, Intel will announce its first quarter earnings. The silicon chipmaker has suffered from a sluggish PC market. Dan Hutchison is an industry analyst at VLSI Research.
The broader future for them is how do they tap into the mobile market? Because for them to grow faster, they need to be in markets where they don't have lots of share. And in the PC market, they virtually own that market.
Hutchison says mobile isn't the only market out there for Intel.
The other really good long-term opportunity for Intel is in the IoT or Internet of Things. That market has huge potential to be as big as the PC market or the mobile market, but 10 to 15 years from now.
That's Dan Hutchison, an industry analyst at VLSI Research. The cybersecurity industry is one of the fastest growing industries in the world. When you think about the Target and Home Depot breaches, the Sony hack, it's probably not much of a surprise. By some accounts, the industry will be worth as much as $150 billion in a few years. And as the market grows, so does the battle over where the industry will make its home. Sarah Sorcher is deputy editor at the Christian Science Monitor. She wrote about this. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So why isn't Silicon Valley the Silicon Valley of cybersecurity?
California definitely has a lot of good things going for it. The West Coast is the hub for commercialization in cybersecurity, and they have a huge lineup of commercial power players from McAfee in Santa Clara to Symantec in Mountain View. But they just don't have that narrative for cybersecurity specifically.
So what other locations are trying to grab this industry?
Right now, it's a pretty big competition between two major places. California is one of them because, you know, they already are a really big VC hub for venture capital spending. And then there's the DC area. So there's a huge flood of federal contract dollars. And then there's all sorts of other players emerging now in Texas and in Florida and in Massachusetts. Everybody's trying to recruit companies and to do whatever they can to build what they call a cybersecurity ecosystem.
Now, if you are the city that wins the title of Silicon Valley of cybersecurity, what do you win? I mean, why so much competition?
Well, I think that to become known as the city for cybersecurity, you get people who are making six-figure incomes. You have a pool of highly skilled workers that translates to a lot of benefits for the local economies. Another perk of having a cybersecurity hub in your region is, of course, to be more cybersecure yourself. 9 out of 10 cities in the U.S. that are known as being hotbeds for identity theft are in Florida, but the head of the Florida Center for Cybersecurity, he's turning this into part of his sales pitch. He's saying, we have the largest number of crooks in the country, but that's exactly why we need the Florida Center for Cybersecurity.
So what'll it take for one of these cities to actually win the day?
Well, I think that being a first mover, while it's not necessarily make or break, is going to help a lot. The infrastructure to become a Silicon Valley for cybersecurity is relatively similar. I mean, it's not dependent on natural resources. You know, California, Texas, Florida, they all have a shot. But as long as you become the first one known to do that and invest heavily in it, then I think that they have a good chance.
Sarah Sorcher is deputy editor for Passcode at the Christian Science Monitor. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
If you're familiar with Reddit, you may already know about the Reddit button. It started as an April Fool's prank and has turned into a bit of an obsession. Basically, it's a button with a timer that counts backward from 60 seconds. Anyone with a Reddit account when it launched can push the button and reset the clock, but only once. No one knows what'll happen if the clock gets to zero. But so far, it's not come close, at least as of the time we recorded our show. That's a lot of people doing a lot of clicking. Redditors earn different color badges depending on when they pressed. And this whole thing, it seems, raises so many questions. We called up Kelly Goldsmith. She's an assistant professor of marketing at Northwestern University. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So I have so many questions about the Reddit button, but I guess the first question is just why? Why is this so consuming for so many people?
I think the short answer is there's a lot of reasons. You know, I've been reading what other people have been writing about their experience, and they say, oh, it's about competition, and oh, it's about status. I mean, I think those could be certain motives that play into it, but it also seems like there's a strong sense of affiliation and a strong sense of community a lot of people are experiencing through this. But on the other hand, it could just be driven by curiosity, right? I think there's some really sort of nice motives that could be underlying why this is so successful.
Have you looked at the button? Have you watched it at all?
I have, yes.
It's mesmerizing, right?
To me, that speaks to the curiosity part, right? So when's somebody going to push it? How long is it going to go? What might happen if it didn't get pushed, right? So I think that's really what keeps it so mesmerizing, as you say.
What can we learn about human behavior broadly from the success of the Reddit button?
I mean, I think two things that I took away from it, which are nice takeaways, really, are that in this day and age, people really are looking for cool, different, new ways to affiliate. So that's one takeaway I had. Another one is really just the motivating power of curiosity, which I don't think gets enough attention in the academic literature, but is definitely a strong driving force. If we look at some of the perhaps irrational decisions we often see people make, they say curiosity killed the cat. And in a way, it's true. At least curiosity here is killing some of the cat's time.
Do you have a Reddit account yourself?
I do have a Reddit account. I have not actually pushed the button myself.
Are you going to?
After this discussion, I might have to.
Now, are you of the mindset that it's better to push early and try to grab that 60-second, you know, push at the very beginning of the minute? Or are you going to wait and try to get that clock as low as possible?
I would absolutely be of the group that waits to get the clock as low as possible. Again, just for curiosity's sake of how low can it go? What would happen if no one pushed it, right? My natural instinct when I first heard about this was to be on the side of getting everyone to join forces not to push it. But now that I've read more about it, I do see the nice part about affiliating with a community of people trying to keep this button going. It reminds me a lot of that Lost, right, with the hatch and the everyone had to pull the lever and just they didn't know why, but they kept doing it. And I think it speaks to something sort of primal within us, that there's a fear, right? What would we lose if we didn't have the button?
Kelly Goldsmith is assistant professor of marketing at Northwestern University. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.